Hare Krishna. Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 2, Text 8. Arjuna says to Krishna, I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel it even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven. Comment. Again, Arjuna asks Krishna to enlighten him and dispel his distress. He knows that even a prosperous kingdom or heavenly pleasures will leave him unsatisfied. Sanjay said, this is text 9. Having spoken thus, Arjuna, chastised of his enemies, told Krishna, Govinda, I shall not fight. And he fell silent. Comment. Srila Bala Vidyabhusan comments that Arjuna, by addressing Krishna as Rishikesha, the master of the senses, indicates, quote, because you are the master of my senses, you are going to draw my intelligence into involvement with the fighting. And because you are the knower of the Vedas, you're going to make me understand that this fight is my personal dharma. End quote. Srila Prabhupada explains the significance of the word parantapa. Quote, Dhritarashtra must have been very glad to understand Arjuna was not going to fight and was instead leaving the battlefield for the begging profession. But Sanjay disappointed him again in relating that Arjuna was competent to kill his enemies, Parantapa. Although Arjuna, for the time being, was overwhelmed with false grief because of family affection, he surrendered unto Krishna, the Supreme Spiritual Master, as a disciple. End quote. Sanjay next tells Dhritarashtra Krishna's reaction to Arjuna's words. Text 10. Krishna says, O descendant of Bharata, at that time Krishna, smiling in the midst of both armies, spoke the following words to the grief-stricken Arjuna. Comment. Prahasan literally means smiling. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna is smiling because his friend has become a disciple. Krishna's smile gradually changes to a grave expression. He will now act as Arjuna's spiritual master, and talks between the spiritual master and disciple are serious. Therefore, Krishna smiles as his friendly affection gives way to parental affection, which is similar to the relationship between guru and disciple. Assuming the role of the guru, Krishna became grave because he was teaching not only Arjuna, but all humanity. Srila Prabhupada says, it appears that the talk between the master and the disciple was openly exchanged in the presence of both armies so that all were benefited. End quote. Bhagavad Gita is not intended for any particular person, society, or community, but for all people at all times. Text 11. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to Arjuna, to us, to the universe, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. Comment. Having now accepted Arjuna's surrender, Krishna immediately chastises his student. He tells Arjuna that although he spoke with the authority of a wise man, he laments for things which no wise man would lament. In essence, he is calling Arjuna a fool. Although Arjuna's words are true according to Dharma and Rajaniti, statesmanship, they do not take into consideration the true basic standard of knowledge, the difference between the body and the soul. This verse serves as a prelude to text 12, which will further establish spiritual truth by refuting the bodily concept of life. 12. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Krishna tells Arjuna, in the past I was Krishna, in the present I am Krishna, and in the future I will be Krishna. In the past you existed, in the present you exist, and in the future you will exist. All these kings assembled here to fight, they were all individuals in the past. They are individuals in the present and will continue to be individuals in the future. In other words, we are all eternally spiritual individuals. In this verse, Krishna immediately defeats the Mayavad conception of the oneness of the Supreme and the living entity by identifying himself as an individual, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also identifies Arjuna and all the assembled kings as eternal individuals. He does not say that in the future Arjuna and the kings will become one with him, nor does he say that he was formless in the past, that he had assumed the form now, and in the future he will again become formless. Rather, he states his point clearly. I was Krishna, I am Krishna, and I will always be Krishna. Similarly, Krishna asserts Arjuna's eternal individuality. It is not that Arjuna or the assembled kings were merged into Krishna in the past, have now assumed bodily forms because of illusion, and in the future will again be merged into Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada mentions, Mayavadis may argue, quote, that the plurality mentioned in this verse is conventional and that it refers to the body. But previous to this verse, such a bodily conception is already condemned. After condemning the bodily conception of the living entities, how is it possible for Krishna to place a conventional proposition on the body again? On the contrary, Krishna clearly is stressing spiritual individuality. This basic understanding of the difference between the individual soul and his temporary body is further stressed in the next verse. And we shall end here. Hare Krishna.